Let us pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have a time to open your word. And Lord, we know that we can do this because of the grace you've given to us. But Lord, you know all things, especially our hearts. Sometimes we bank on the cleverness or the zeal or the emotion. But, O Lord, none of this will satisfy you. The only thing that will satisfy you when there's an emptying and there's a filling in from above. So, Lord, we ask that this be done not only in the speaker first, but in those that hear. That there may be something passed on, communicated from the open heaven to each one of us here today that will remain for eternity. So we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I have a request before I start, and this is for the whole assembly. I've been traveling quite a bit. And that's why I'm not able to make it to the Tuesday night meetings. And there is a travel that will happen, but I'm glad it will be with my wife. Otherwise, all the other travels is without my wife. In the will of the Lord, next month, she and I will be going to India. The original plan was to bring my father back, but for some reasons, he's not coming back. We'll spend some time with him, particularly the weekends. We will be I'm asked to minister 3 weekends in the assembly over there. The saints have requested it. So I ask as a member in the assembly, uphold me in prayer. It's very important, not only for the travel mercies, but more importantly, the spiritual communication and the handling of the Word of God. So with that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a series of portions and very brief comments so that we have some time for the business meeting and then followed lunch. And trust that the Lord will bless that. Isaiah chapter 9, please. Two verses in Isaiah 9. And I think I'm out of sync. This should have been spoken maybe a month ago, but no. Well, let's look at it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it, and with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Turn over with me now in the New Testament. Let's go over to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Turn over with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians 6, and towards the end, I'm going to kind of break into between, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. One last portion, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, in these portions that we have read, I picked out a common theme that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I trust that it will be of value, and I trust it will be, I pray that it will be of eternal value. You know, in the portion that we, and especially the children, and I as a child, memorized this in Sunday school program, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's a wonderful thing. But think about it, a child was born. Our Lord was born as a human being, very unique one, born of a woman, born under the law, in the fullness of time. Galatians says this. He had to be born as a man from a very young child. And you know his birth was extremely unique. There was no other birth such as that. And there is a beautiful language, if you just take the English language or any other language, we heard about translations, how it's described. The Holy Ghost overshadowed a virgin. And she conceived. No intervention, no part from the man, and he was born. And he grew up from a very young child, and he grew up to be a man. A child was born, a unique birth, and that had to be in the plan of God. And then we see the verse, a son was given. A child was born, a son was given. Between the birth and the giving of the son was a life. The most amazing, perfect life that this earth has ever seen, will ever see. A life. And that's what we want to concentrate on today. A birth and a giving. It was that giving of the Son. And it was a Son. And let us remember that. He had a Father. When we talk about a Son, there is a Father. And the life that he lived in between was completely dependent on that Father. If you go through the book of John, the Lord will use the two words, my Father, more than 30 times. Imagine him calling out, my Father. And he would speak of him because he lived that life with complete dependence on the Father. I would encourage you, as I have been encouraged, to read the book of John with this thought in mind. How many times does the Lord call God his Father? My Father commanded me. My Father asked me. My Father has many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. And that was the single point of contention with the Jews. They really got angry with him when he claimed. They say that in John chapter 8, right? John chapter 8 is the wonderful chapter where religion and life clash. John chapter 8 starts with the Lord in the temple and all the people early in the morning gathered together with him right there. And right early in the morning, it says, by the way, the Pharisees were so diligent in getting a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought him to the Lord in the temple. Look how more religious could it be? Right in the temple complex, the Lord, what will you do now? The law. The law of Moses says this woman ought to be stoned. Religion has very harsh ways to deal with sin. It always does, and it always will. But then you see the chapter. It starts with the woman stoning. It ends with they picked up stones to stone the Lord. That is religion. Whereas in John, we read, in him was life. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give life to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had no way to communicate between us and God. The moment Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, spiritually they died. They could only hear God in terms of, you are separated from me. That evening walk that the Lord had in the cool of the day, he would come and commune with them. That communion, that loving communion, was gone. They could not enter into the presence of the Lord. And that was what he came. Now, this particular birth of our Lord, in some ways, is very unique. And if you take birth, all of us were born in exactly the same way. A man and a woman and a child. We will think that it is one of the great levelers of human beings, right? I was born the same way as you were born. But if you look at birth, just think about it. When, where you were born determines in our human system many things. Even the very idea, time you were born. I was born in 1962. The world is quite different from when it was in 1962. What if I was born in 1159 AD? What if I was born somewhere else? In the dark empires of maybe Aztec, or even at that time in the dark ages in Europe. Who determined that for you? Who determined that for me, where I would be born? And even as what I was born, in a broad sense, looking at you and me, there are males, there are females. Why do I say this? Because the all-knowing, almighty God determines where you are born physically, when you are born, how you are born. He is the one who decided this person is going to be born tall or short, curly hair, long nose, ugly nose, whatever it is. He decides. But out of that comes this glory. I have created you for my glory. And he will take it out of you. He wants that from you. And that's why I would say It's not the first birth, it's the second birth that's the great leveler. Born again means two births. And that's what we read in John 1. And see how clear the word of God is. What does it say here? Verse 13. Which were born not of blood. Who were the which? Go to 12, please. But as many as received him. Now we have the definition of real birth. But as many as received him. God gave a gift, and it is up to us to receive him. The gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have to work for it. I cannot work for it. It was a gift given by God. What else does the word say? To them he gave the power or the privilege or the right. Privilege or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And here is the great equalizer or leveler in the second birth. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You see here, we make our claims and our boasts just based on our birth. If we look at the many discriminations that we have throughout this world, in all societies, by the way, you will find this. Even if you took a very homogeneous society, you will find that there are those who are intelligent, not intelligent, educated, not educated, rich, poor, this or that. Whereas in the kingdom of God, it was not by blood. There is no physical traits that is needed, nor of the will of the flesh. The flesh has no part in it. Nor of the will of man. Man did not engineer, arrange the circumstances for this. Man has no part in this, as a matter of fact. But the will of God. The will of God. You know, in Isaiah 9:6, when it says, a child was born, a son is given. And then I read the verse after that. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. That phrase, the zeal of the Lord, occurs only one other time in the Bible. It actually occurs in two chapters. Isaiah 37, when Hezekiah, Sennacherib attacks Judah. The Lord's zeal was there to perform the birth of his son and the giving up. The birth of the child, the holy child, and the giving of the son. But it is the will of the Lord that has performed this. A will that none of us should perish. Dear friend, if you're here in this meeting and you don't know what it means to be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, John chapter 1, verse 12 would say it. But as many as received him, receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be your Savior, your Lord. Now we come in the few minutes here to the giving of his son. The giving of his son meant the Lord to be on the cross. Now here he is, not a child, but a fully grown man. A son who has come into full sonship with the Father. It's in the Jewish tradition, there is the bar mitzvah, that happens around the age of 12, when he is brought out into the world. This son of mine is my legal heir. And henceforth, he can take up responsibilities for me. And then at this age, he's brought out, he's pronounced to the world. And then furthermore, he is shown as the legal person. Our Lord went on further up to 33 years, where he would have been in the service as a priest. He was qualified for that. That was when he was given up to die on that cross, on that cross of Calvary, where he would lay down his life and he would take it up. And the Lord would say this very nicely: "This commandment I've received from the Father, that I would give, lay down my life and take it up." He also would say in the book of John, the Father has life, and the Father has given it, that the Son has life too. And that's why he, in his giving up, could impart that eternal life to you and to me. Now, there are two different things. If you go to John 3:15, you will see the phrase eternal life. In 3:16, it will be everlasting life. Eternal life begins now. Everlasting life will continue on, and that's what it means. Eternal life is we have entered into the eternity. We are now in the eternal now, where time no more exists. The reality for us is we are already there. And that is why I speak. I emphasize the point about the difference between the physical birth and the spiritual birth. The spiritual birth keeps us down here. If that's all we can see in one another, if we see the physical traits of our physical birth, we will come out into confusion. But when we see that one is born of the Lord, born from above, our dealing with that one and that one will be different. It ought to be different. Because what Christ has brought in through his precious blood, as Christ has bought in through his precious blood, there will be a change. And that's the Lord's point. God's point is, I gave my son to bring many sons unto glory. He wants sons and daughters. And that's the portion we read in 2 Corinthians. You are, if you're born again, a son or a daughter. And again in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Many sons unto glory. Not just sons, unto glory. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is why he gave that son. Now there is one portion, I will make no comments on this. Psalm 87. And we will then move on about from the birth. Psalm 87, couple of verses. Now, I'm not going to make any comments on this only because it requires a systematic way of tracing lots of things in the Bible, because it refers to a place, a physical place at that time, but not really physical anymore. Chapter 87, verse 5. Please see what it sees. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. You see that birth? You see that the Lord also says, when the Lord writeth up the people. There is a wonderful significance here about your second birth if you have it. You have come into the family of God, and that is the one that is important. Many churches will ask you to become membership. We have our membership in heaven. Church of the firstborn. Okay, now let's move on about the life that the Lord imparted. There are many aspects of the Lord's life on this earth. We can talk about his obedience. We can talk about his compassion, his care, his many, many things. And I'm not weighing one over the other. This was primarily on my heart, that I went before the Lord, and I want to communicate this. There are two things that he, as the Son of God, when he was on this earth, showed us in very definite terms. The first one I have mentioned is his close communication and communion in a living way with God, his Father. Let me read a couple of verses, and I'll go to the book of John. John chapter 5, please. And I will start read in verse 19. Okay? And this is the time that he said, in John, there are many, many discourses or discussions that our Lord has with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel. The Son can do nothing of himself. In both the portions in Hebrews and in John, it was written that all things were made by him, for him, and yet, this perfect Son of God would say the Son can do nothing of himself. Isn't it a marvel that he, who was all-powerful, even when he was on this earth, would defer the doing to his Father. And he would say the same thing about what he spoke. He says, I do not speak of my own. What the Father has commanded me, that will I speak. Now, that's a very basic communication. Speaking. Imagine how much dependence he had to have on the Father, that every thought, every word, and then every deed had to come from the Father. That is real sonship. The Lord is giving to us a lesson of true sonship. To be in communion with the Father. A lot of times we think of what can I pray? The greatest prayer that you and I can utter is, my Father. Call him Father. Sometimes I get confused in the morning meetings because we are so concentrated on saying, Lord, I'm unworthy. See, if I start saying I'm unworthy, brother will say he's unworthy, then both of us will stand up and say, who is more unworthy? As if it becomes a little competition. You know, you remember old guys will sit and talk, oh, in my school days, I walked to the school building barefoot and so on. The other guy will say, I didn't have a shirt on my back in the snowstorm. You know, all that. We kind of end up having a trading thing going on. Who's more unworthy? Why should you be unworthy? when the Lord has purchased you with his precious blood. You are his son and his daughter. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, what promises, please? That you are, in the previous verse, you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. If you claim his sonship, be worthy of his son. Behave yourself. Then it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Claim yourself first to be a son, and based on that correct position, ask the Lord the next thing. Cleanse me from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is the reason why we are sons and daughters. To perfect holiness in the fear of God. To claim that as a promise. And God's promise is as good as fulfilled. It is fulfilled. The second aspect of this life that the Lord gives us, and then again I said there were lots of different aspects of it that caught my attention, is the self-denial of the Lord. I need a biblical reference to that, otherwise it would be wrong. It happens in the three other Gospels, but I will pick it up in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will lose his, save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Let a man deny himself. What does that mean? When my hand is caught in the cookie jar, I'd love to deny myself. I'm not there, I'd say. No. That's really not what denying yourself is. Denying yourself comes when I want to assert my rights. I was with a man 2 weeks going in California, Chris Hildrum. This is not over the internet. I hope this message doesn't go over the internet. Chris. And Chris was, you know, he was being very political to me. And then, by the way, he gave me a badge of approval of how conservative I was. I'm never conservative. Okay? But he kept on ranting about something. And he kept telling me, Dan, you need to assert yourself. On the way back from Sacramento, I got upgraded. He didn't. So he was telling me to go in front of the line. Dan, you have to be aggressive and assertive. I said, Chris, God gave me that seat. I will get that seat. Nobody will do anything to me. I have the valid seat. But you see, that assertiveness, that is so much part of our human being. The Lord never denied he was God. The Lord never denied he was Son of God. The Lord never denied that his father was God. Am I right in all this? Yeah. He even accepted worship. So let's not deny what God has given us to be a son and a daughter. But when it comes to our rights, how we fight for our right, because it's inculcated in us that we live by right. It is my right to do this and that and that and this. Can you give that up? That is what the Lord is asking. He was denied the right as a firstborn in his own family. His brothers thought he was mad. He was denied the right in the priesthood. They put him out. He was asked to pay a tax in Philippia, Caesarea. And he paid it. He was denied the place that he ought to be in every single thing. That is the life he lived. And please remember, that giving up of the Son, that birth, and between the birth and the time he was on the cross, his life had to be perfect before God. And it was perfect. Thank God it was perfect. Completely denied himself. And that's what the Lord says. And if you read it in Mark chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 16, he is telling this to those who will follow him. Deny yourself, take up the cross. Deny yourself. When you think this is your right, and how often our quarrels are based on that. I want to do this. I have a right to do this. Really? Your right was to become the Son of God. That was a right and a privilege given to you. But if you really took it up, you won't have a quarrel when somebody puts you out. You will not have a quarrel. And many a time, it will always be exactly as it is written in the Bible. The flesh will persecute the spirit. And the fleshly will take over. The religious will take over. My time's up. I need to stop. Our Father, we once again thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have the Lord Jesus Christ who came and showed us, who made us to call you Abba, Father. And we thank you, O Father, that we can do this with a heart full of gratitude, with a certainty that even this earth, this physical earth, cannot have. We have that. We thank you, O Father, for this time and the time that we have as a corporate meeting and other things. We commit that to you. We pray, O Father, in the time that we would be together, that we'll honor and glorify you throughout our days of our lives here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.